All right, the most sacred morning. So let's begin. Today's daf is Kuf Aleph. It's Kuf Aleph. We are starting on Kuf Amud Beis, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 lines up from the bottom. Rabbi Gemara says, Ela Lav Biznos. We actually began to read this yesterday. So remember, again, we're trying to figure out the case of the Mishnah, specifically to try to figure out the situation in which you could have a circumstance. Remember, again, this case in the Mishnah was the woman who got married within the 3 months after her first marriage or first relationship ended. And the Mishnah spoke about all the variations of the cases. Specifically, the Mishnah discussed 12 lines up from the bottom, Kuf Amud Beis. Specifically, the situation of where the son will be an onein, or the son will not be metame for, or someone will be an onein for both of his fathers, or for both potential fathers, and they ultimately, again, will be oneinim for him. So the Gemara says, Allah biznos. Rather, we must be talking about a circumstance where there is not a marriage taking place, but rather, again, it was Znos with these two men. Uma achar ba'lo. What does it mean she didn't wait 3 months after her husband? Says the Gemara, achar bo'ala. It means that she didn't wait 3 months after the man with whom she had relations. V'katani seif. And yet we say at the end of the Mishnah, Ola b'mishmar shalzeh v'shalzeh, that ultimately this son is part of the mishmar of each of these fathers if they're both kohanim. Viti yoftu the Shmuel. This is the refutation of Shmuel, because remember Shmuel said that in order to be counted as a kohen, you needed to be zar'o acharov. It's not just enough to know that your father was a kohen, but what? You have to know exactly who it is that your father was. Zar'o acharov. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Shmaya b'mama enes. Oh, what's the case over here? The case is where the girl, this is a case of miyun. And I'm both saying, this is actually very interesting, because what we're saying over here is, this was a case of miyun. So look, if you look at Rashi, it's the first wide line at the bottom in Rashi, b'mama enes, li olam biznos lo mitukma, doha pasol la'avod, v'la matzi l'misni olam mishmaro shal zeh. Ela, eichi mishkachas l'adirob misashneim. So rather, we're going to throw this nus thing out the window. We're not going to go with his nose, but rather it's going to be a case of miyun. Remember, miyun is a situation where if a father marries off a daughter, a minor daughter, so the mice again, then there's a biblical marriage. Miyun is a situation in which, again, the mother or the brother marries off the daughter, minor daughter. This is a rabbinic marriage. Now, before she reaches the age of adulthood, so she has the ability to go ahead and refuse the marriage. That's called miyun. Now, if she is a mema'enes, that retroactively uproots the entire marriage. So the Gemara says, so I'm finishing that Rashi, he says over here, the Gemara is setting up the case over here as where the woman married husband number one, or I should say her mother or her brother married her off to husband number one, and then she refuses that marriage. When she refuses that marriage, then after her doing her miyun, she does not wait 3 months prior to going ahead and marrying the second husband. So the Gemara says, 1 second, mema'enes. And I will say, now the reason why this would work is because the mice, again, in a case of Mima Enes, the assumption is she has a child. She's a child within 7 months after marrying husband number two. We're not sure then, Lamaisa, again, if she has the ability to go ahead and, we're not sure if it's from husband number one, husband number two, but this would be a case where the mice said there was a marriage, and this would be the case where the offspring could go ahead and potentially experience the death of both fathers. So the Gemara says, Umima enes, Mika yalda, is a mima enes, a girl in that stage able to have a child? V'hatani rabibi kamid rab nachman, but rabibi said before nachman, so we actually had this Gemara, shalosh nashim memash mos tomoch, there are three women that are permitted to use a moch. So a moch, it literally is material that a woman would insert within herself to prevent pregnancy, essentially a Talmudic diaphragm. So is it three women that are permitted to go ahead and use a moch? Kitana, mu'uberes, umenika. So a kitana, or mu'uberes, and a woman who's, mu'uberes, a woman who's pregnant, menika's woman who's nursing. Why? Kitana shematis aber v'samus. Because with kitana, we're concerned that if she becomes pregnant, she can die. Mu'uberes shematasa ubrasandu. Suppose I can remember, based on the Gemara's understanding of medicine, so understand that they're afraid that the pregnant woman could conceive again, and ultimately this would impact her already existing pregnancy. And menika shematigmos menaviyamos. And a menika, because perhaps she'll become pregnant. This will lessen her milk supply. She'll be forced to prematurely go ahead and wean her child, and her child will die. Ve'ezehu kitana. And what is a kitana, or who is the kitana? Mibas achas esrei shana v'yom echad. Ad bas shteim esrei shana v'yom echad. From 11 years old in one day to 12 years old in one day. Pachos mikan o yeser mikan mishameshes kedaka ba'olech zera meir. Barabo said less than this, meaning because less than 11 years old in one day, she's not going to become pregnant. And more than 12 years old in one day, she's already gedola, and pregnancy doesn't pose a problem to her. These are the words of Rabbi Meir. V'chom d'chom say achazu v'achazu mishameshes kedaka ba'olechas. We'll say the chom take a very interesting approach. They say no, all of these women do not use a moch, but rather, again, they have normal relations. And again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have compassion upon them. Shene'emar, Shomer Pesoyim Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches over the simple ones. So we'll say, leaving aside that machlokas, what comes out over here is that what? Is that a ketana can't become pregnant. So if a ketana can't become pregnant, then this case of mima'enes does not work. Why? Because the mace case of mima'enes only works if there's a potential that she's become pregnant from her first husband. But a mima'enes ultimately, again, is only by a ketana, because only when she's a ketana can she be mima'enes. But we just said that when she's a ketana, she can't become pregnant, in which case there's no suffix that the child came from the first husband. The child is definitively the offspring of the second husband. Rather, Gemara says b'kiddushei taos. Excuse me. Mashgach hasla b'kiddushei taos. Also, what's the case over here? The case over here of the Mishnah must be a situation where there was kiddushei taos with the first husband. So we'll say, what does kiddushei taos mean? So kiddushei taos means, let's say she had kiddushin with husband number one, but that kiddushin was based on a t'nai, and the t'nai was not fulfilled. So what happens? In that case, again, the previous marriage is retroactively annulled. Kidrei Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Don't remember Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Mishum Rabbi Shmuel. Vehi lo nispasa. So remember this. So this is the pasuk talking about over here of a woman who is married, has relations with another man. So the Gemara says, Vehi lo nispasa, and she was not forced to do so. She was not violated. Asura. So the Gemara says, if she willingly submitted to this other man, then ultimately she is asura to her husband. Hanis pasa. So we see from here that lamaisa, if she was forced against her will, mutara, she's permitted to her husband. But there is another woman, sha'afa pi shalonis pasa, even though she was not violated, she was not taken against her will, muteres, she is still technically permitted to her husband. Ve'ezo zu, and who is this? Ve'ezo, and which woman is this? Zo shekidusha kidushei tos. This is talking about a woman who had a mistaken kiddushin. Sha'afilu benam murkav la'ak seifa, because a woman like this, even if her son is literally on her shoulders, mema'enes v'holech esla, ultimately could refuse this marriage and move on. What that means is mima'enes here is not used in the halachic sense of mima'enes, but rather it means that she has the ability to get out of the marriage. What the Gemara now is suggesting over here is the following, that lemaisa, the case of the Mishnah, where we are not sure if the child who is born is a 9th month child of the first or a 2nd month child of the second, is a situation ultimately where she had kiddushei tos. She had a mistaken kiddushin with husband number one. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, "Rabbi kiddushei tos al tnai." So let's say again, husband number one is Reuven. So she had a kiddushin on a condition with husband number one. Velonis kayem, and ultimately again, the condition was never fulfilled. The nafka mine belogita. She leaves marriage number one without a get. The nises besoch gimel, and then she went in and she married Shimon within 3 months after marrying Reuven, after leaving Reuven. So let's say again, she marries Reuven, and the condition of Reuven's kiddushin is, I'm marrying you on the condition that you don't go back to your parents' home. Okay. It's a valid condition. So they get married, they're living together. What happens? So right after Shavuot Brachos, she goes to her parents' home. Okay, so obviously the kiddushin is no longer good. So the marriage is retroactively annulled. Within two months after that marriage is annulled, she marries Shimon. What happens? Now she has a child, and we're not sure, is the child Reuven's child or the child is Shimon's child. So Rashi says of her, so again, remember, you could have, now you understand what the Mishnah's case of, that child could technically speaking be alive when both of the potential fathers, Reuven and Shimon, die. Furthermore, the Kohen Kosher, who, and also he's a Kosher Kohen. Why would the, let's say again, both Reuven and Shimon are Kohanim. Why would the child be a Kosher Kohen? Because remember, again, even Shmuel said that you only need Zaroach HaRav. Remember, Shmuel agreed that we have to remember Shmuel's idea was that in order to be a Kohen, it's not just enough to know that your biological father was a Kohen, but what? You have to know who your father was, Zaroach HaRav. But even Shmuel admitted that that's only Dirabanan. Mid Araisa, it's enough to know, as long as you know that one of the two people who are your father is a Kohen, or I should say, as long as you know that the two people who are potentially your father are Kohanim, that is enough. As long as the relationships were in a marital context and not znus. So that since that criteria is satisfied over here, therefore again the child is considered to be a kohen v'kohenu l'fichach in metam elohen v'ole b'mishmar lavo de'biznus ki agavna d'havi ayidei nisun al gazer abanam. So I'll say this ultimately again. So therefore, this is how we set up the case of the Mishnah of the circumstance in which the child is considered to be a kohen. The child would go and be part of the mishmar of each of the fathers, and l'maisa again. And Lemaisa, the child could be alive when both of them die. This is the case. So the way we set up the case in the Mishnah is a case ultimately again of Kiddushei Taus. Fine. Tab of Kof Aleph. Hayu Shneim Kohanim. So remember again, the Mishnah said that if they were both Kohanim, Tan Rabbanan, Hikazeh. So remember again, the Mishnah also said that if he goes ahead and he hits or he curses either of them, he is not Chayiv. Why? Because Lemaisa, again, it's a suffix as to whether or not the person who he hit was his father or not. So he kazeh, v'chazer v'hikazeh. So let's say he hit this man, meaning he hit Reuven, and then he went ahead and he hit Shimon, or kilelzeh, v'chazer v'kilelzeh, or he cursed Reuven, and then he went ahead and cursed Shimon, or kilel shtim v'asachas, or he cursed them both at once, or he kashtim v'asachas, or he went ahead and he hit them both at once, chayiv, he's chayiv. So we'll say, according to the Tanakhama, according to the first opinion here, so whether he hit them or cursed them at the same time, or hit them or cursed them consecutively, he's going to be chayiv. Rashi says, shahari echad mehem aviv. Because at the end of the day, one of the people you just hit, or one of the people you just cursed, is definitely your father. So Rashi just points out over here that remember, in order to be chayiv anything, you have to have hasra. You have to have warning. Now the issue over here is, remember, when you give hasra, what would the hasra in this case look like? That's what in this case look like, please. Don't curse these guys or don't hit these guys because one of them is your father. Now, that is not a definitive hasra. That's what we call a hasra safek, a doubtful or a possible hasra. So this first opinion clearly holds that hasra safek is still a good hasra. Rabbi Huda says, no, bevas achas chayiv, if you hit or you curse both of them at the same time, you are chayiv. Because I also remember, again, at that point in time, that's not a hasra safek, right? Because at that point in time, you're saying hasra zvada. You're saying one of the men that you are going to hit right now is definitely your father. Or one of them you're going to curse is definitely your father. That is a vada hasra. But if he hits them or curses them one after the other, pater, then the mice say again, you are exempt. But yet, Rabbi Huda says that even if you hit them at the same time, or curse them at the same time, you're pater. So it's a contradiction. To which the Gemara says, no, trei tanoi alibi de Rabbi Huda. There is a machlokis. That's what Rabbi Huda said. Did Rabbi Huda say that b'vasachas is pater, or did Rabbi Huda say b'vasachas is chayiv? My taima demand de pater. What is the logic of the one, ultimately, again, who says that you're pater b'vasachas? Now, both say, meaning, I understand why if you hit them or you curse them consecutively, one after the other, that I understand why you'd be pater in that case. But why would you be pater if you hit or you curse them at the same time? Meaning there, you are doing an act that is definitely resulting in the hitting or the cursing of your father. So, because again, you're hitting them both or at once, or cursing them both at once. Why would you be pater there? To which the Gemara says, Am Rabbi Chanina, Ne'emar bracha lamata, ne'emar bracha lamala. And I will say, bracha in this context doesn't mean a blessing, just the opposite. Bracha means a curse. It says, bracha lamala, it talks about cursing God, and it speaks about cursing. Ne'emar bracha lamata. Excuse me, Ne'emar bracha lemata v'ne'emar bracha lemala. Speaks about bracha lemata, cursing your parents, and it speaks about cursing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ma lemala she'ein b'shutfus. Just like, again, when you curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so again, remember, there is no shutfus, meaning when you curse God alone and only God, meaning you don't include anyone else in that curse. Meaning, if you were to go ahead and curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu and God A and God B and God C and God D, that's not called cursing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's like when you curse, if you were to curse God, Chas V'Shalom. So again, there's no shutfus, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Af lemata she'en bashutfus. So too, for cursing your parents, you're also only chayiv if what? If you curse your parents alone and not go ahead and include anyone else within that curse. The iskish hakal leklala, and ultimately, again, striking one's parents is compared to cursing one's parents. And therefore, this man da Amr says that even bevas achas, even if you were to hit them or to curse them at once, you're still not chayiv, because you're only chayiv in a case where you curse or you hit your parent by themselves, so to speak, without anyone else included in that. Okay, va'ola be'mishmaro. So remember again, the Mishnah said that Rabosai, that this child who's not sure about his paternity, let's say assuming both fathers are Kohanim, so he serves as part of each father's Mishmar, each man's Mishmar. There's only one issue, which is that as much as he's permitted to serve, he cannot demand a portion. He cannot demand a portion. So the Gemara says, "V'chim achar de'ino cholik lama ola." So I don't understand if he's not going to get the portion. So also remember, either a portion of the meat, of the sacrificial meat, or a portion of the hides. So if he's not going to get a portion, so why does he go to be part of the mishmar, of the particular Kohanic group that's serving in the Beis Hamikdash? The Gemara says, "Lama ola v'ha aha amar ba'ina dine avid mitzvah." What do you mean? Why is he going up? Kohanim don't just go up in order to get the meat, in order to get the hides. They go up because it's a mitzvah to serve. So he's going up in order to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Ela alalo katani, ela ola bal karcho. Rather, no. What the Gemara is picking up on over here is it doesn't say that he can go up to serve in the Mishmar of both the fathers. Rather, it says that he does go up, which almost sounds like we force this kid to go up to the Beis HaMikdash to serve in the Mishmar of both of the potential fathers. Why is that? Amar Rav Acha Bar Chanina, Amar Abai, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Mishum Pegam Mishpacha. Because Rabbi says, interestingly enough, if he does not serve, then what? Then that reflects poorly on the other members of the family. And Rabbi says, remember that the issue over here is that if he does not go up, it looks like, so why isn't he going up? Why isn't he going up? So it looks like that potentially, again, there could be some type of psul. There could be some type of genealogical blemish within the family. Therefore, we force him to go up to the Beis HaMikdash to go ahead and serve with each of these mishmoros in order to go ahead and maintain the familial continuity and genealogical integrity. I'm sorry?
People see that he goes up.
Right, correct. But like this, each way, whichever way it is, both mishpachos are fine. Remember again, kahuna is very sensitive to any shemitz, to any possibility of genealogical blemish. Therefore, we know he's a suffix. It looks bad on the mother. But at the end of the day, at least what it says is that the genealogical integrity of both families is intact. It's strange, but at least lamaisa, everybody's okay. Look at Rashi, Mishum Pegam, Shtei Mishpacho Sheboshlav Sheyomur B'nei Adam Pasol Hu La'avoda. Because we'll say, essentially, if he does not go up, people will say that he's Pasol La'avoda. This way, again, what the Mishnah is telling us is, we compel him to go up and to serve in both of the Mishmoros, in order not to chas v'shalom be motzilas, in order not to go ahead and indicate that there's some type of genealogical blemish with either of these families. V'imhayu Shtei Mishmar, Maishna Shnei Mishmoros Delo. So we'll say, listen to this. So remember, again, the Mishnah said that if both fathers are from different Mishmoros, so the child goes up, he serves with both the Mishmoros, but he cannot get a portion. He cannot get a portion. But if both fathers are part of the same Mishmar, then he has the ability to go ahead and obviously go up to serve with them and also to get a portion. So the Gemara says, Maishna Shnei Mishmoros Delo. Why is it that if both fathers are part of two Mishmoros, right, that he does not get a portion? The Azalaha Mishmara Umatchule. Because remember, again, he goes to Mishmar number one, and they say to him, look, you're not part of us, you're part of number two. And he goes to Mishmar number two, and they say to him, what? You're not part of us, you're part of number one. So therefore, they can each bounce him back and forth to the other. Therefore, he cannot demand a portion. Echad nami azalahai beisavu matchile. So we'll say, oh, but that could happen even in one Mishmar, because remember, each Mishmar is made up of multiple bate avos, is made up of multiple families. So each family could say to him, look, you're not part of us, go to the other family. To which the Gemara says, Amrav Papa, Hachi Kamar. This is what it means to say. What it means to say is that if both fathers we're not only part of the same Mishmar, but what? We're part of the same base Av, part of the same family. That's the case in which the son, in which the child could go ahead and not only serve, but also take a portion. Hadron Allah Knosin Alanu Sam. Mitzvahs Chalitza. Now I'll say, interesting, we're going to get into the mechanics of Chalitza. Mitzvahs Chalitza b'shlosha dayanan, v'afilu shlashtan hadyotos. The mitzvah of Chalitza takes place, it has to take place in front of three judges, even if those judges are simple people. Meaning, as we're going to see, they need not be tamidi chachamim or experts. Chalitza b'min'al. So we'll say, we will see the process that entails a shoe. So if he goes ahead and they do chalitza with min'al, Rashi says, min'al shel orach is a shoe of soft leather. Rashi says, ke'hu ke'in shelanu, like our shoes. If she does, if they do chalitza with a min'al, a soft leather shoe, chalitza sekher, the chalitza is good. Ba'an pilya, however, if they do chalitza with a sack, then chalitza sapsula. Such a chalitza is not good. B'sandal shiyesh lo akev, if they do it with a sandal that has a heel, kosher, the chalitza is good. B'she'in lo akev, however, again, if it doesn't have a heel, Basel, again, we'll discuss each of these. We'll discuss each of these in the Gemara itself. But the idea over here is Rashi's psula de midi de magin ba'inon. We need a shoe that ultimately protects the foot, as we're going to see. So if it doesn't have a heel, then it can't be used for a chalitza. Minhar kuva ulamata chalitza kshera. If it's a shoe that covers from the knee down, then ultimately it's kasher. Min ha'arkuva ulamala chalitza psula. If it's a shoe that's used from the knee up, then ultimately the chalitza is possible. I'm going to say, now, what does that mean? That's referring to the idea of, let's say a person is an amputee. So a person is an amputee, let's say they have some type of shoe that goes, let's say, on the stub. So that kind of shoe is not kosher for chalitza. It has to be the kind of shoe that ultimately, again, is supposed to go on a foot. B'sandal she'ein shelo, if a person uses his shoe, a sandal, but that's not his, or a sandal she'ye shel eitz, or a wooden sandal, o b'shal small b'yamin, or the yavam is wearing a left-footed sandal on his right foot. In all of these cases, chalitza kshera. In all of these cases, the chalitza is still good. Chalitza begadol sheyochal lahalachbo. Similarly, again, if let's say you use a sandal that is too big for the yavam, right? It's larger than the size that the yavam needs, but the yavam is still able to wear it and walk in it. So, bekatan shuchofa es rov raglo, or he uses a small sandal that covers the majority of his foot. In all of these cases, again, so that would be, it's too small to fit the Yavam's whole foot into it, but the shoe covers the majority of the Yavam's foot. In all of these cases, chalitza sekshera. In all of these cases, ultimately, again, the chalitza is still good. Says the Gemara, ume'achar da'afilu shalosh hadyotos tayan elamali. So we'll say, what the Gemara is picking up over here is something very interesting. The Mishnah said that you need three dayanin for chalitza, but it's okay even if you use hadyotos, even if you use simple people. So we'll say those phrases seem to be mutually exclusive. A dayan usually means someone who's skilled, tam tchacham, and yet hadyotos means even simple people. So if I can use hadyotos, ask the Gemara why I need dayanin. Kamashvan deba inon b'shlosha sheyodim lahakros ke'ein dayanin. Dayanin, because we'll say the Gemara says it means that you have to use three people that are capable of reading and telling over the Yavam the phrases that he needs to say. Because as we're going to see later on, that part of the Chalitza process is we tell the Yavam the words that he needs, the phrases that he needs to be able to say. Therefore, again, you could use a hedyot, you could use a regular person, but that regular person has to be versed enough at least to be able to tell the Yavam what it is that he needs to say. Tanina lahad tan rabbanam, mitzas chalitza b'shlosha shiodim lahakros ke'in dayonim. Furthermore, we learn that the mitzvah of chalitza is even with three simple people, as long as they know how to go ahead and give over to the yavam the lines that he needs to say, like dayanim, like judges. So that's what it means. It calls them dayanim in that they need some basic level of proficiency in order to be able to know the lines that the yavam has to say, in order to be able to have the yavam repeat after them. But they need not be experts in general. Rabbi Huda says, no, it's not enough. Omer Bechamisha, he says you need five dayanim. He says you need five. So again, Rabbi says, so the first opinion says that you need, the Rabbanon say that you you need three people on this chalitza panel. Rabbi Yehuda says you need five. My time, the Tanakama, why does the Tanakama say that you need three? The Sanya, Zikinim Shnaim, because remember the Pasuk says, if a man does not want to perform yibum, the yavam will go to the gate, of the city, to the zikanim, to the elders. Zikanim, now the zikanim means at least what? Zikanim shnayim. Ve'in beizdin shakul. And remember again, you can't have a beizdin of equal number. Therefore, mosifin alein od echad. Therefore, what? We add on one additional person. So the minimum of zakinah means two. You can't have a basin of equal number. Therefore, we add on one. That's three. Hari kan shlosha. Rabbi Huda will say, ziknei shnayim. So we'll say, remember, the pasuk also says, v'kar'u lo ziknei iro. Another ziknei. Ziknei is two. Zakinim is two. Ve'in basin. So we'll say, therefore, the psukim themselves tell me between ziknei and zakinim. That's two each. That's four. Ve'in basin and shakul. You can't have an even number on a basin. Therefore, what? Mosif and Alein Odechot Hare Kanhe. That's five. Vitanakama. Hai Zikne my Avdile. So we'll say, what does the Tanakama do with this extra word Zikne? Mi Baile Rabuye Afilu Shlosha Hedyotos. That second Zikne comes to teach us that Rabbi will say, what? You don't need three professional Dayanim, but rather what? Any three regular people will do for the Chalitza panel. Rabbi Huda Hedyotos Minale. Where does Rabbi Huda learn that you could even use regular people? Nafgale Mile Ene. Because the pasuk says mele'ine, it says ultimately again in front of the eyes of the people. So once it says mele'ine, that teaches you that you can even use hedyotos. Do amar mar le'ine prat lesumim. Because we'll say, interestingly enough, because we learn le'ine, and this is talking about over here, the niksha yivimto elav le'ine hazekenim. Ultimately, again, the yavama comes le'ine hazekenim. So what does le'ine mean? Damar mar le'ine prat lesumim. That, remember again, Ene comes to teach you that you can't have blind people. You can't have blind people on the Chalitza panel. The people on the Chalitza panel must have sight. Now the fact that you need Ene to exclude blind people from the Chalitza panel, Shmamina dafila hedyotos. We learn from here that what? That even regular people can sit on the Chalitza panel. Because if you think that you need a Sanhedrin, meaning if you think that you need a real Beis Din, a real Dayanim, then what? You would not need to specifically exclude blind people, and I'll tell you why. I made the Tani Rav Yosef, Nafka, the Tani Rav Yosef, Kashem Shebezim Minukim Bitzedek, the same way that a Beis Din, a real Beis Din, has to be absolutely righteous. Kach Beis Din Minukim Mikomum. So to the members of the Beis Din must be free from physical blemish. Shene Amar, because the Pasuk says, Kulach Yafe Rayasi, Umum Ein Bach. Because the pasuk says, "You are totally beautiful, my beloved one." Umum ein bach, and there is no blemish on you. So we'll say the Gemara elsewhere understands that this is referring to a Beis Din, that the Sanhedrin, the members of the Sanhedrin, must not only be free from spiritual blemish, but must be free from physical blemish as well. So we'll say what's interesting is the following. Therefore, if you needed a regular Beis Din, a real Beis Din for Chalitza, I wouldn't need Ene to come to exclude blind people, because that's already understood that anytime you're convening a real Beis Din must be free from both spiritual and physical blemish. The fact that I need a specific word Ene to come to exclude a blind Dayanim from the Chalitza panel indicates to me what? That I'm using a regular Beis Din of Hayotos, even simple people, not professional Dayanim. Ve'idach, the other opinion says, Ve'idach, what does he do with Leine? That the Dayanim have to see the spit, have to see the saliva coming from the mouth of the Yavama. Obviously, we'll say we have not yet actually described the actual process of Chalitza, but suffice it to say, Rava holds that we're going to have to see the Yavama spitting. So because you're going to have to see the Yavama spitting, therefore what? Blind Dayanim will be disqualified. Chsiv le'ene hazekinim v'yarka v'idach nami mi bailei l'chidirava. Aye, but the other opinion also needs this Ene to teach me this dinner of Rava. That's what, that the Dayanim have to see the Yavama spinning. Ein achinami, you're right. Ve'ela hadyotos minale nafka. So where do they learn out that even regular people could be Dayanim and the Chalitza panel? Maybe Yisrael. Because the Pasuk says, again, he's quoting over here, the Pasuk says, So since it says Be Yisrael, Yisrael called you, that teaches us that what? That this whole thing is taking place within Yisrael, meaning any type of Yisraelim could serve as the Dayanim on this Chalitza panel. The Idach, and the other opinion, Hay Yisrael Ma'avli, what does he do with this Yisrael? Me'boile l'chiditani Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. Bar Yehuda, be Yisrael, be based in Shal Yisrael, the lo be based in Shal Geirim. Oh, he uses it for another halacha. Bosei that tells us that be Yisrael teaches us that the based in must be made up of Yisrael, and it cannot be a based in of Geirim. You cannot use converts for this particular based in. Again, and so that's really what the Gemara is saying over here, is that's based on Xeris HaKosov. That since it calls it Be Yisrael, it means it has to be Yisraelim, who are Yisraelim from birth, and not a Chalitza court of Gerim. Okay. The Idach, Be Yisrael Achrina Ksiv. And the Gemara says, but that's also, that we can learn that out. Why? Because again, there's a second Yisrael that's written. Because the Pasuk says, V'nikru b'shmo b'Yisrael, beis chalutz anal. So because you have a second Yisrael, we can learn out this din of no beis din of Geirin from the second Yisrael. V'idach, and the other opinion will say, no, you need that other Yisrael. Mi ba'ile, l'chidetanya am Rabbi Huda, pam achas hayinu yoshin l'thnei Rabbi Tarfon. One time we were sitting before Rabbi Tarfon, u'ba'a yivam alachlotz, and a Yavama came to do Chalitza. But Amarlan Rabbi Tarfon told us, Anu kulchem chalutz hanal. All of you answer, that all of you call out that she is chalutz hanal. And Rabbi Tarfon understood that after a woman does Chalitza, there's like a din of verbal affirmation of what she did. That everyone is same way at a wedding, like Lahavdil. That after husband gives wife the ring, so the Eidim say Mikudashas, they have to articulate the fact that Kiddushin took place. Shari Tafun was of the opinion that after Chalitza is performed, so there must be a verbal affirmation of Chalitza. They have to say, he said, Anu Kulchem Chalutzanal, all of you answer that she has indeed done Chalitza. V'idach, and the other opinion says, Mivinikra Nafka, they learn it out from the phrase of Vinikra. You shall call out Elameata Vikaru Shnayim. So we'll say, so now what we've established over here so far, remember this whole discussion started a much bigger machlokes, but the essential machlokes is how many people do you need for Chalitza? How many people do you need for the Chalitza board? According to the Rabbanon, you need 3. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you need 5. Okay? That's the fundamental machlokes. Now, I will say, now once that started, so that sparked a conversation about how we darshan the rest of these psukim as well, but that's the fundamental dispute. So the Gemara says, okay, so now let's come back, let's get back to basics here. Elo mi'ata. So using this logic, and I will say, then follow this train of thought. Vikaru shnayim, vidibru shnayim. Now remember, I'm going to say, remember, now you have another 2 references to the Beis Din. The Pasuk says, vikaru lo zikne ha'ir. The dibru elav. So the elders will call him. This is referring to the summoning of the yavam to Beis Din. So if that's the case, vikaru is 2. Vidibru, they will speak to him as another 2. Hachanami Rabbi Huda, Hari Kantisha Rabbanon, Hari Kantshiva. Now, I will say, remember, essentially, if we start darshaning every plural instance of Rabbanim or of Dayanim that are mentioned, then what? Then it adds on additional ones for each one. So let's say, according to Rabbi Huda, so every plural represents 2. So Zikne is 2, Zikinim is 2, Karu is 2, Dibru is 2, that's 8. You can't have a Beis Din of equal people, therefore what? Add on 1 more, maybe you should need a Beis Din of 9. And according to the Rabbanon, so again, if you add on every plural, you'll also have 7. So the Gemara says, No. We need that vikaru v'dibru to teach us something else. Vikaru lo v'lo shlucham. That they both say when they go ahead and they summon the yavam for chalitza to the basin for chalitza, the basin must summon him themselves, and we do not use a shaliach. They do not dispatch an agent. V'dibru elav. That is actually interesting. They speak to him. What does that mean? Melameid shemasiin lo itza hogenes lo. It means that the Bezdin helps to advise the Yavam to do the right thing. What does that mean? Shim hayahu yeled v'hizakena. Let's say the Yavam was very young and the Yavama was very old. Or hu zakin v'hiyalda. Or the Yavam is very old and the Yavama is very young. Omrim lo, we say to the Yavam, malacha etze yalda. You're an old man, right? What are you going to do with such a young wife? Malacha etzel zakena, right? You're a young man. What are you going to do with such an old wife? Kelecha etzel shel kamoscha. Go and find someone who is good for you. The al tachnis kitata lasoch besecha. And do not bring strife into your household. So the Gemara is understanding over here that the v'dibru elav, they speak to him, is a statement ultimately again of the Beis Din trying to give the Yavam good advice about what is the proper approach for him within this Yibam relationship. Amar Rav Amar Nachman, halacha, what is the bottom line? Chalitza bishlosha. So Rav says the halacha is like the Rabbana, namely that chalitza takes place with a group, with a Beis Din of three people. Hoil ustam lan tanya kavase. Because you have a stam mishnah bose, remember, stam mishnah means an unattributed ruling that paskins this way, and therefore halacha lemaisa, that is how we hold. Amali Rav Rav Nachman. Rav says Rav Nachman, ihachi miunami. Well, if that's the case again, then miun should also only require a Beis Din of three. This none, because we learned hamiun vachalitza b'shlosha, right? Because you have a stam mishnah that says that miun and chalitza take place with a Beis Din of three. Remember, miun is the ability of a minor girl to refuse her husband, and that was a marriage that was created by her mother or her brother, a rabbinic marriage that she could simply get out of by refusing. So she has to do miun in front of three people. V'chite machinami. Maybe you'll say, okay, good point. So miun also takes place in front of three. Aye, but we learned v'hatanya, miun, when it comes to miun, Beis Shammai Omrim, Beis Shammai says, Beis Din Mumchin, that you require a Beis Din of experts, or Beis Silo Omrim, Beis Din, V'shaloba Beis Din. And Beis Silo said, no, you could do it in a Beis Din, or you could do it outside of a Beis Din, but Elu v'elu modim shetzarech shlosha. But both Beis Shammai and Beis Silo will agree that what? That you require three. Okay, so they have machlokis. Beis Shammai says you need expert three in Beis Din. Beis Silo says you don't need expert three. You can do it out of Beis Din. But everyone agrees you need three. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yossi, machshirin b'shnayim. But Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Lazar hold that no, all you need is two people to witness miyun. V'amar Rabbi Yossi, bar miyumi, amar Rabbi Nachman, halacha ke'osazug. And Rav Yosef bar Minyumi said in Rav Nachman that the halacha follows this pair, i.e. Rav Yosef and Rav Elazar, that all you need is two people to witness miyun. So we'll say again, so now we have machlokes. How many people do you need for miyun? Do you need three or do you need two? Hasam chad stama. So we'll say in the case of miyun, here's the issue. In the case of miyun, you only have one stam mishnah, right? You only have one unattributed ruling that says that miyun requires three. But hacha by chalitza, trace stami. You have two stam mishnayis that support the idea that chalitza requires a Beis Din of three. The Gemara says, no, hasam nami trace stami ninu. The truth is, by miyun, you also have two stam mishnas, disnan, miyana o shechalza befanav, yisoena mipnei shuba Beis Din. Right, that if she did miyun or chalitza in front of him, she can go ahead and marry him. This is talking about, we actually mentioned this before. This is talking about a case where the woman who's either coming to do miyun or chalitza ends up marrying one of the judges on the Beis Din. So the Gemara says again that that's permitted because he did not act alone. He acted in the context of a Beis Din. But what do you see from here? You see from here that miyun takes place in front of a Beis Din, in front of three. So now we have two stam mishnayos that back up this idea that miyun is bifnei shlosha. Ela hasam trei stami, hacha tlasa stami. Now, but here's the difference. By miyun, you only have two stam mishnayos that supports the idea that it has to be done in a Beis Din of three. But by chalitza, you have three stam mishnayis that support the idea that you do chalitza in front of three. I don't know what you're talking about. Michti, hastama v'hastama, bless you. Mali chad stam, umali tre stam, mali tlasa. So let's say, you know, the idea of a Stam Mishnah is that a Stam Mishnah carries weight. The idea is that if you have a Mishnah that has an unattributed ruling, now we'll say if the Mishnah quotes an unattributed ruling, that means that what? Normally it means that what? Everyone agrees with it. So once you have one Stam Mishnah, what does it matter if you have one, two, three, five? It doesn't make a difference. As long as you have one, that's enough to make the point that you have an authoritative Stam Mishnah. The halacha should follow that, to which the Amar says, Ela Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Hoil ustam b'makom machlokes. Here's the difference. The difference I will say is that it's true you have a stam mishnah, but you also have another mishnah that quotes a machlokes. Tisnan, smichas zekinim. So also the case of smichas zekinim is talking about a situation of what we call a par he'elam davar min atzibor, where the congregation of Israel has sinned as a whole because of an erroneous ruling of the Sanhedrin. So there's a specific karba that's brought, and there's a kingdom, the elders do smicha, they lean their hands on that karba before it's offered. The eglarufa, so eglarufa of course is the decapitated calf that's brought when you find someone murdered in between two cities. So all of those things are done b'shlosha. Those things have to be done in front of a basin of three. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda says bechamisha, and Rabbi Huda says again, you have to do it in front of a basin of five. However, a chalitza v'hamiyun b'shlosha. So, but chalitza and miyun are done in front of a basin of three. Rabbi Yossi, now watch this. V'lo kapal, Rabbi Huda. And interestingly enough, what do you see over here? Rabbi Huda doesn't argue. So Rabbi Huda argued in the first case by the smichas zekinim and the egla arufa, and even though Rabbi Yossi said that you only require three, Rabbi Huda said that you require five. And yet, in the case of chalitza and miyun, where the opinion of the Mishnah said that you only require three, Rabbi Huda does not argue on that. What does that show you? Shmamina hader be Rabbi Huda shmamina. What do you see from here? That Rabbi Huda retracted his position. That even Rabbi Huda, who originally said that you require five, that you require five people for your chalitza panel, retracted his position and again agrees with Rabbi Meir, agrees with the Tanakama, that Lamaisa, all you need is three people for chalitza. Fine. Amir Rava, Tzrichi Dani Lemikva Duchta. Rava said, furthermore, again, that Dayanim have to establish a place where the chalitza is going to take place. The Rashi says, Lemikva Duchta L'shem Kach. So meaning they have to identify the chalitza is going to take place in so and so place. Dechsiv Va'olsa Yevimto Hashara El Azekinim. So also because what's interesting is the Lashon of Yibum is that the Yevimto will come to the gate of the city, which indicates that what? The Hashara Rashi says, Hamoka Mezuma L'kach Mashma. It sounds like they're creating a specific place in which the chalitza is going to take place. So from here we see that the basin has to actually set a place. The chalitza will take place in so and so makom. Rav Papa, Rav Papa Rav Hunberi Rav Yeshua, of the Uvda Bechamisha. So what's now the Gemara just launches back to the previous discussion from just a moment. Rav Papa and Rav Hunberi Rav Yeshua, they once performed the chalitza with five people, meaning with a panel, a basin of five. So the Gemara says, Kiman, Rabbi Huda, whose opinion is for this affects the opinion of Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda is that you require five. But one second, Faha Hadr Bey, but Rabbi Huda recanted that, right? He retracted that position. We just said before, right before the two dots, that Rabbi Huda agreed that Lamaiso, all you require is a panel of three, to which the Gemara says, you're right, Lifarsumi Milsa. They did it. Why did they want five people? They didn't want five people because the basin requires five. Rather, they got five people for Pearson. They wanted more people on the panel so that the chalitza would have greater publicity. Meaning, the more people you have, if you look at Rashi, lefarsumi milsa, the chalutzahi, velo linsaba the kohen. Because, well, remember, once a woman is a chalutza, so she can't marry a kohen. So they wanted word to get out. What's the best way to ensure that word gets out? Invite more people on the panel. So they added the additional two, not because it was halachically mandated, but because they wanted to make sure that the word got out as quickly as possible. I will say, no, we'll stop over here for today. So again, just to our takeaways for today is halacha lemaisa, you require a beis din of three. That's how we're going to paskin, not like Rabbi Huda requires a beis din of five, even though we'll find cases of where there is a larger panel, but that larger panel is just there for the purpose of piersum, of maybe getting the word out. That's number one. Number two is you need a beis din of, you could even use a beis din of head yotos. You do not need to have a beis din ultimately of experts. Just the minimum requirement is that the individuals must be capable of giving over to the avam the proper lines that he has to say, but they need not be a beis din of mumchim. All right, we'll stop. We'll pick up here. Mir Tzashem tomorrow. Why not literally?